I'll let you know when I'm ready to start in on your outline. Of course, the first part is already on your outline, and that is criticism is from kritikos, which we get the word critical, like critical thinking, able to discern, skilled in judging. Criticism has two different meanings. Again, I'm shortening this stuff every week, so it's not like it was before. Before it was a whole paragraph, now it's a couple of sentences. Speaking fairly with discernment in regard and merit or value. And number two, it also means speaking unfairly with trivial or harsh judgments. How many has ever had to discern in regard to merit or value? Every last one of us. If you're going to go to the grocery store or you're going to go shopping, you have to watch what you're buying. Because if you're not careful, you can spend a whole lot of money and not get the right stuff. So you got, you know, and it's like with people, you have to discern people, because if you don't, you'll wind up in all kinds of trouble. You wind up getting somebody that's going to get you in trouble, i.e., my daughter. I've gotten in trouble before because I didn't discern the people I was around. Also, I've gotten in trouble before because I didn't discern the job I was doing. There's all kinds of things that you might not see. And obviously, there's things that you don't see. So you need to trust other people if they're actually trying to help you. But you have to ask God to help you see. So they're speaking fairly with discernment, and that's judging a tree by the fruit it bears. But speaking unfairly with trivial, harsh judgment, unfair criticism by fault-finding, that is judge not or you'll be judged. Okay, that's actually some heavy-duty stuff that we don't need to be doing. Now, when I catch myself doing it, I may feel good for a moment. Usually when it's going out of my mouth, the Lord is already convicting me. And I can say it and may walk off and say, well, they need to hear that. Used to, I'd say that, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you know what? I can't afford to lose a piece of my mind. So now the Lord convicts me when I talk on trivial or harsh judgment. So the Bible stresses the importance and the impact of right and wrong words. And I'm going to read a little bit further into it in just Proverbs 18:21, because I think, let's just read a little further here. Verse 17, Proverbs 18, verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth right, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contention to cease and parteth between the mighty, or to cast lots, puts an end to disputes and decides between the powerful contenders. But a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Or a brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And that's speaking of a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So now we're talking about how to keep from offending a brother. And if you have been offended, offending them back doesn't help anything. Okay? There's people that have hurt me all through the years. And what I found out is, like we talked about last week, it's not my job to take care of them who hurt me. It's my job to give it to God, because God can take care of it a whole lot better than I can. And when God takes care of it, it's win-win. But if I take care of it, I'm looking for a win-lose. I can tell you all I want until I want win-win, but if I'm going to go out for revenge, I'm going to go out and try to take care of them that hurt me, then it becomes a win-lose. And a win-lose is never equal, and it's always one trying to one-up the other. And it just gets terrible. So it's best just to leave it alone, forgive that person, give it to God, and you move on and let God help you. Well, see, Bildad, in the book of Job, in Job chapter 8, Bildad, now he's in here talking to Job. And he's talking to him, and Bildad can no longer contain himself, and he's becoming increasingly frustrated that Job isn't owning up to his supposed sins. He's aggravated because he's not admitting that God is disciplining him. Isn't it nice for somebody to be your judge and jury? He's thinking, if you had been better, this wouldn't be happening to you, not realizing this is going on because God said there's none like him. All right, devil, go at him. You'll watch. He is awesome. But that's not what Bildad thinks. Bildad thinks that he's covering up some sin, and he won't admit that God's taking care of him, trying to get at him. And so, how long will thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like strong wind? So again, your words are a blustering wind. Bildad's compassion erodes into cruelty, and he even accuses Job's children of sinning. You know, it's bad when something happens and you hear him say, well, they got what they deserved. Really? I've said this before and I'll say it again. I say it all the time. You know, there is a big controversy over the death penalty. A big controversy. And I can see some people are very harsh. And when somebody's going in the electric chair or being put to sleep with a lethal injection and people sitting outside and some are going, don't kill, don't kill. And somebody else is hollering, fry him, fry him. Well, you know what? Would they be saying that if it was their son or their daughter or their mother? Would they be saying that then? So again, our judgment gets very out of focus. And so it's so strong. We've got to let God be the judge because we do not know how we judge by actions. He judges by intention. And he knows everybody's intention. Sometimes I've watched people, and I know I'm sitting there watching doing some of the craziest mess, and I'm thinking, this is absolutely absurd. You are killing folks with what you're doing, and not realizing that in their mind, their intention is good. So again, you got to let God take care of that. So he's talking about Job's children are sinning, and he concludes that's why God allowed them to be killed. And he makes this tragically wrong presumption. In verse 4, if thy children have sinned against him and have cast him away for their transgressions. I mean, he's talking about God killed your children because they were just mean. Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, this is tough. Well, again, is there someone, and I don't need you to, please don't raise your hand. Is there someone in your life who has been especially hard on you? All of us have them. All of us. There's not one person in here. I can't say there's at least one person that is especially hard. And matter of fact, you may not feel a whole lot of grace from that person. Now notice how those with a critical spirit seek to cancel out their own shortcomings by focusing on their good intentions, but they condemn you by focusing on your faults. This is a critical spirit. You got to pay attention. Now, I ask God all the time, God, don't let me get that critical spirit because it's so easy to get. You know, you're walking along and all of a sudden somebody's done you wrong and God, here's the brother that's offended and you're harder to win than a strong city. And if you're not careful, you're actually doing worse than the person that done to you. You know why? Because two wrongs don't make a right. But three rights do make a left turn. All right. Okay. So now, anyone can develop a critical spirit by focusing on the failures of others, and obviously no one, there's nobody in here without fault. Now, why don't you raise your hand now? Is there anybody in here without fault? Raise your hand. Hey, none of us are without fault. None of us. So now, thinking about that, now, with this selective vision, these fault finders feel justified by playing dual roles, both the judge and the jury. Meanwhile, those being judged feel unjustly criticized, unjustly compared, and unjustly condemned. God, on the other hand, never calls attention to our faults in a way that wounds our spirit. Did you know that? God don't want to wound your spirit. Now, if God brings something to your attention, it's for you to straighten up. It's for you to get better. But he does it in a way that's going to propel you, not knock you down. All right? Now, As a matter of fact, I think about the probably the worst person, one of the worst persons in the world with a critical spirit that God had to take care of, and that was Saul of Tarsus. He knocked him off his horse. That's where we get to saying, who knocked you off your high horse? God knocked Saul off his high horse. Saul was blinded. I saw the light. I mean, the scales were off his eyes. But even in all that stuff God did, it was always redemptive. And it was always for a purpose, because when all this was through, he said, oh man, I got to serve God. I've done wrong. Okay? So now, so again, his plan is to bring positive change in our life. And sometimes that pain or that positive change is painful. Not going to say it's not. But that conviction is for this purpose, to motivate us to change. Everything God does is to motivate us to change. So those with a critical spirit deny the weight of their sin by measuring it with different standard than your sin. But they need to be aware of these words from Proverbs, the book of wisdom. It says, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I'm clean and without sin? Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. So now we're going to the outline. Get to the outline now. The difference is between a critical and a caring spirit. God wants us all to have a caring spirit. Saul of Tarsus had a critical spirit, but by the time God got through with him, he had a caring spirit. Do you know that James and John, the sons of thunder, you know why they were called the sons of thunder? Mark 3:17, why Jesus called them the sons of thunder? Because they had tremendous, tremendous attitude problems. And they were very boisterous. And when they're going through Samaria and the people are not even accepting Jesus, John and James says, call down fire from heaven and burn them rascals. Y'all remember that? But at the end, John is called the apostle of love. What happened? God changed his critical spirit. God changed Peter's critical spirit. But the greatest of all is the Apostle Paul. Do you think God went and called the best of the best? No. He called the worst of the worst. And he made them the best of the best. And the worst of the worst was Saul, who became the best of the best. So now, the bombardment of criticism is getting to Job. And now, because he's being so criticized, look, he's lost everything he owns, including his children. He's still on the graveside. Saw 10 graves being dug for his kids. He's got nothing to fall back on. Everything's taken away. It's terrible. And his friends have come to help him. Instead of helping him, they're hurting him and they're criticizing him and said, you brought this on yourself, bruh. Your children are so mean, God just killed them to get them and you out of their misery. Please, if anything ever happens to me or I need help, y'all have not done that with Bethany. Praise God. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Bethany has cried and cried and cried and said all she's hearing is agape and love. And every time she gets around one of y'all, she just cries and cries and cries because she says, people have loved me, loved me, loved me. And I took her to a birthday party last Saturday, and Daniel said, you better go get her, Dad. She's in the bathroom crying. And so I said, what is going on? And she said, everybody's showing me so much love, Dad. She says, I can't stand it. I said, would you rather everybody go out and take turns beating you? I said, dear, it's called God's love. It's God's love. It does, yeah. And so here it is. He's slipping into despair. He's even growing cynical. Have you ever been hit so hard and hit so low that you yourself, who loves, you love God, you just love Him, you love worshiping Him, you love working for Him, you love other people, but because of the critical spirit that has been thrown against you, you even become cynical. I've done it. And when I find it, I get right down here in this altar and I say, Lord, I'm getting a cynical spirit. I can't stand this. This is not you. And I get right down there and say, Lord, I forgive them. I don't know their motive. And I'm sorry, but help me do what's right. Because again, two wrongs don't make a right. So he's growing cynical even of God and God's justice. It is in Job chapter 9, it says in verse 20, I got it written down there for you. It is all the same. That is why I say he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. When a scourge brings sudden death, he mocks the despair of the innocent. When land falls into the hands of the wicked, he blindfolds its judges. If it not be, then who is it? I mean, this guy here is just, he's really having a hard time with everything. The stuff that happened to him, his friends, with God, he's just having a hard time. Job has a desperate, Job's desperate discouragement in the midst of righteous tribulation demonstrates the importance of, we are to manifest a caring spirit to those who have gone into dark hours. So here it is. We're told, walk in the way of love, Jesus, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, Ephesians 5 and 2. Now, isn't it interesting? I've got it written down. Isn't it interesting how differently people handle the same situation? Isn't it amazing how you handle the same situation differently depending on how you feel that day? Come on now. Or what you're going through. Or whoever it is doing the offending. Okay? So now, here it goes. Sometimes in completely opposite ways, two people receive the same bad news. One reacts negatively, the other reacts positively. Two people see someone make a mistake. One person lacks mercy, the other extends mercy. Those with a critical spirit rarely focus on the needs of others. They're too busy focusing on the faults of others. A critical spirit and a caring spirit are the opposite ends of the spectrum. One tears people down while the other one builds people up. God constantly or continually manifests a caring spirit. He desires us to do the same. So now on the next page, these are the nine distinct differences. On one side, the very first one is a critical spirit. In the middle is the scripture. And on the other side is a caring spirit. So I want you to watch this. Now, I'm going to read the first critical, then I'm going to read caring, then I'm going to read the word of God. Critical spirit, number one, condemns the person as well as the action. This is a critical spirit. A caring spirit condemns the action, but not the person. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Again, a critical spirit condemns the person as well as their action. But the caring spirit condemns the action, but not the person. I don't know how many times in the last few years I have told people over and over again, you're not a failure. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. I told Bethany, you failed, but you're not a failure. Daniel even took Bethany to the side and said, girl, she thinks Daniel, because he was a policeman and undercover and SWAT and over there in Afghanistan, she thinks he doesn't ever make a mistake. And if you don't think he makes a mistake, ask Michelle. And he carried her to the side and said, girl, I've made some very bad mistakes too. And he began to tell her some things about himself that she never knew. And she said, really, brother? And he says, yeah. He said, I've done some rough stuff. And he said, I've hurt Dad really bad. He said, but it's okay, because God and Dad both have forgiven me. You know, and you go ahead. And Bethany, again, started crying. It's like every time, but I like that part because it's showing me that she's waking up. All right, number two. A critical spirit focuses on the faults of others. A caring spirit focuses on your own faults. We talked about this last week. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Why are you looking at the toothpick in your brother's eye and you got a telephone pole in your own eye? So when I look at people, look at their faults, I try to think about, wait a minute, Lord, where am I at on this situation? You know, and I have to remember, I didn't walk on water to get to this place, okay? I had to use a boat too. All right. Number three, a critical spirit ridicules others, but a caring spirit encourages others. Proverbs 11 and 12, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. I have to practice this stuff every time I go in Pitt Detention Center. And I don't know if you, I even hate to watch the news, and Linda wants to watch the news, and I sit there and watch, and I see this stuff. And if you ever see stuff on Channel 9 especially, and just recently, there, and in the newspaper, there was two guys killed this guy out in the food line, I mean, at Walmart. And then there was all these guys that were caught for killing somebody. And when I go into Pitt Detention Center, who's the first people I see? Now, I can look and say, well, I saw you on TV. I'm not talking to you. No. No. I go in and say, God, remove from my mind anything that's going to block me from ministering to them, because you may be using me tonight to bring healing to them. And I know I told y'all about this, but there was a guy years ago, this was about 4 years ago, there was a young guy accused of molesting his four-year-old niece. I'm in there talking, and this one guy can't stop crying. He's crying. So I walked over and said, what is wrong, man? And he said, I'm falsely accused. And I thought, well, everybody says that here. And he says, no, you don't understand. He said, I got drunk one night, and I shouldn't have. He said, but I did not molest my four-year-old niece. I know I didn't. I would never do that. Now, here's my chance to go, yeah, right. And so I looked at him and I said, well, you know what? That's between you and God. I'm here as his representative to minister to you. And I spent a lot of time with that man that night. The next time we came back, and we were riding to the detention center that night, and everybody in the van said, boy, if we get a hold of that guy, I don't know what we're going to do, because if we were left alone with him, what would we do? So the next time we went, I didn't tell the guys what he had done. And every last one of them, every time I brought them in there, every last one of them were drawn to this guy and ministered to him. And I would come out and I go, you know who you just ministered to? And they go, who? I said, that guy accused of molesting his four-year-old niece. And they go, wow, why didn't you tell me that before we went in there? And I said, because you wouldn't have ministered to him. And if he is guilty, he still needs ministering to. So, again, you can ridicule others or you can encourage others. Then, a critical spirit makes judgments based on appearances. A caring spirit makes judgments based on facts. Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. That's why I say, if you hear something about somebody, go to the source and find out, especially if it's destructive. Go to the source and ask them, look, I'm hearing some bad stuff, dude. Talk to me, because I defended you. I want you to talk to me, though. What's going on? And then it'll help you, all right? A critical spirit assumes the worst without first hearing from the accused. They did it. I know they did it. I remember somebody called me up, and they were accusing somebody of something years ago. This was so many years ago. This person called me up and said, you need to talk to them. And I said, why? And they said, I know for a fact. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, really? You know for a fact. I know for a fact. I said, well, what you're accusing them of is something that would be strictly between them. So how would you know unless you were violating their privacy and you were there? And they went, yeah, you're right. I said, well, then how do you know for a fact? And they said, well, I don't. I said, well, I think it's better if you leave it alone and pray. And it was amazing how that conversation went from, I know for a fact, to, you know what, I'm wrong. God forgive me. I'm sorry. So again, assumes the worst without first hearing from the accused. Caring spirit assumes the best while waiting to hear from the accused. Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? John 7:51. Next, I'm trying to hurry up and get through this. Next, A critical spirit tears others down without seeing their unmet needs, while a caring spirit builds up others according to their inner needs. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that you may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. A critical spirit publicly criticizes those who have wronged them without first going to them. You know, it's a whole lot easier for me to talk bad about somebody when I don't have to face them. Oh, wow. I've learned a long time ago, go talk to them. Go talk to them first. If they're the one that hurt you, go talk to them first, because you might find out that you might be doing something wrong by talking about them. So, a caring spirit privately confronts those who have wronged them by first going to them. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. In other words, two wrongs are not making a right, or not trying to make a right there. Also, a critical spirit reacts pridefully when given advice. A caring spirit responds positively when given advice. When there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. I love to have some go-to people in my life. How many has ever had a go-to person in your life? You should all have some. That's the person you go to when something's going on. You say, well, you know, if it's about a car, I'm going to go to my dad. If it's about this, I'm going to go there. If it's about this, I got a go-to person. But there's a big difference in a go-to person and a know-it-all. A go-to person, you welcome. Please talk to me. But a know-it-all don't want to hear a thing you got to say. I despise going to see a doctor or a dentist, and all of a sudden, I haven't even talked a minute. I have hardly even said what's going on. They've already got me diagnosed and trying to give me medicine. Please stop. Listen. So, critical spirit lacks mercy toward others. That's why I say you got to let God take care of this. You need to, if I try to get somebody back for what they've done to me, then what I'm going to wind up doing is I'm not going to show mercy, and I'm not going to know how much is even necessary, and I'm not going to be able to do anything. It might not even make a difference in their life. It may just make things worse. Let God handle it. A caring spirit extends mercy toward others. Speak and act as though those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. In other words, if you tough on people, God's going to be tough on you. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:12-13. The old saying is true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So, is there any questions, any observations, you know, about this? It's pretty cut and dry. I don't know how to make it any plainer. This is pretty simple. What I do is, and I don't always do it right. I do fall short. Well, what I try to do is I'll take this list right here and I'll ask myself when I'm going through stuff, am I responding here in the negative column, or am I responding in the positive column? One thing that's really helped me is being in the prison ministry, because in the prison ministry, you have to respond this way. I've been ministering to a guy now for over a year. And last month, he told me what he was accused of. I didn't ask him. He told me. And when he told me what he was accused of, all of a sudden, the first thought was, bye. And I said, no, Lord, no. He blurted it out, so you must have wanted me to hear and then keep right on ministering to him. So I even tried to find him some extra stuff to help him out the next time I saw him. And so again, yeah, you got to learn that the person that may hurt you today may be your biggest help tomorrow. Trust God. Let God handle it. because I don't have enough wisdom to handle it. I don't have enough strength to do what needs to be done. I have to trust God. Amen? Now, yes, ma'am. I've heard that. Matter of fact, I've said that a few times. A whole lot. But you know what? I found out a long time ago as a pastor, as a Christian, what I found out as a Christian, one of the first things I found out that when the boom's getting ready to be lowered on me, here's what I said. This is none of my business. But I know what's getting ready to happen. They're getting ready to bust me right between the eyes. And so when they tell me that, I just brace my legs and get ready, because they're getting ready to bust me, you know. But as I've gotten older, I've learned how to handle this stuff, and I let it roll up about like ducks on, water on a duck's back. I know that God has got all this. And so I just keep trusting God. In the middle of it, I was in Walmart today, and I was talking with somebody. I happened to see a guy who's a friend of mine who's been my friend. I taught him Sunday school. I weren't much older than him. I had to be a child prodigy teaching Sunday school or something. Because it can't be that much different in age. And I saw him today, and he saw me, and he kept ducking me. He's never ducked me, ever. And I said, I know what's going on. It's Bethany. And I didn't know whether he was upset or just know what to say. So I walked up to him, and a great old big guy. I grabbed him and said, the bear food, the grizzly bear food is over on that aisle. And he looked at me. And he said, how you doing? And I told him, I said, man, God's treating me so good. I couldn't ask for a better day. God's just doing so awesome. I trust him. And then he looks at me. And then he starts up something about, I don't know if he brought it up. I did. I saw what was going on. I said, and just pray for Bethany. And when I said that, all of a sudden he went like, he was holding his breath. And when I said, pray for Bethany, he went, and we got talking. And I told him, it's going to be okay. And then he told me, which was really, really awesome. He started ministering to me after he got over the shock. And then he told me, he said, remember Saul of Tarsus? I said, yeah. I said, that man was so bad, he run him into prison, lied on them so they'd die. I said, yeah. He said, has Bethany killed anybody yet? I said, no, but she's trying to get me to jump her. And when I sat down, this is God, when I sat down to start teaching, he sent me this. I'm going to read this to you. As I sat down to teach, he didn't know service was tonight. Barabbas, who was a thief and a rioter and an enemy of the state, was the first person Jesus died for. Isn't that awesome? After he got over the, I'm scared to say anything. You know, and even today I run into a bunch of people because Bethany, I had to go to the store for Bethany. So I'm going to the store for her because she's not feeling good. I go to the store for her and get her stuff. And I think every aisle I walk down, I run into somebody. And so what I started doing is, and I can tell when they're going, and I just go, pray for Beth, and they go, ah, it's okay. I tell them it's okay. And I said, God's got this. God's got this. It's going to be okay. And now Bethany's starting to judge her own self. That's not good. But it also shows me that she's waking up. So she's not just going, que sera, sera. So now it's starting to weigh in on her, and I thank God for that. And I'm still there saying, back off, girl, calm down. It's going to be okay. And Linda has been tremendous, absolutely tremendous with Bethany. And so, matter of fact, I don't think Bethany's birth mother does not know about this. I can't get up with her birth mother. I've only been in touch with her two or three times since Bethany was about 10. Bethany's 24. But her birth mother could not be any better in this situation than Linda has. Linda's been amazing, totally amazing. So, again, God's got this. Trust Him. Right? When somebody's hurt you, just trust God. Give it to Him. Ask God to help you to have the strength to show them people grace. The person needs the most grace. The person needs grace the most is usually the one you want to give to the least. Kill him. Here she finished that off with something else. She didn't say kill him. Say kill him with kindness. That's right. She didn't say kill him. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln, after the South conceded defeat to the North, there was a lot of things going on, and a lot of people in the North wanted to come down and just occupy the South. And there was some bad stuff going on, because that was the whole purpose of the whole war to start with, was state rights. And so as they're trying to come down and take over and just wanting to crush us, they were asking Abraham Lincoln, doesn't the Bible tell us to crush our enemies or destroy our enemies? And Abraham Lincoln said, when I make them my friend, haven't I destroyed my enemy? And I think about that often. Yeah, I think about it all the time. When I make them my friend. And I found out, some of the people tell me sometimes over the years, you don't want to get around that, especially at work or somewhere. You don't want to get around that person. That person will aggravate you, and that person will tear you down, blah, 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 and they'll kill you. And I say, Lord, it's almost like automatic. The Lord winds up putting me with that person. And I'm kind of, I say, Lord, let me listen to what that person said. Let me make my own judgment. And it usually winds up, the person that somebody tells me is the worst person they know winds up being one of my best friends. So, again, learn to give it to God. Give it to Him. Let Him take care of it. And when you make your enemy your friend, you have destroyed your enemy. That's awesome. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do and you say for us, Lord. And I thank you, God, that we can have a caring spirit, not a critical spirit. And, Father, that's when we can show the Holy Spirit living inside of us by having that caring spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch and anoint. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Guard everybody and have them get back here Sunday so they can hear the other four words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you don't know what the other four words are, Sunday morning we had 7 words, only got the 3 of them. So we're going to get the other 4 Sunday. You might have my name.